It's time to talk gadgets with our gadget detective, Fevzi. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very excited about this vacuum cleaner you're going to tell us all about. Am I right in thinking this does all the work for you?
Well, it does a lot of it. I mean, I think that these are quite a useful adjunct to a main vacuum cleaner to keep things sort of tip top. But I don't think they yet completely replace. I mean, for example, if you've got stairs, they won't do the stairs. For example. So you might want a lightweight vacuum cleaner on top of it. This one is it's from a brand called Eufy, E-U-F-Y, and it's called the RoboVac 30C. And it's
catchy, you know, little name there.
I know. I've seen a lot worse than this, believe me. Imagine something that's the size of an extra, extra large pizza, and it's got enough toppings on it so that it stands 2.85 inches high.
Okay.
So imagine a really thick-paced pizza. That's really what it's the size of. And it's smart, so it connects via Wi-Fi. And what it does is it runs off batteries, it charges itself, so when it's running down, it goes and finds its little dock and plugs itself in and charges itself up. And you can set a schedule for it to vacuum different rooms at different times, or you can use your smartphone to ask it to start cleaning, or you can use Alexa or the Google equivalent to say, you know, Alexa, clean the floors, and it'll start cleaning. So
Is it ridiculously expensive?
No. Well, so this normally goes for £250. And whilst I don't want to advertise, I did notice that one very well-known online retailer was selling it for £175, but only today. So I'll leave you to work out who that retailer is. Okay. So, but it's a big one. It's very clever. I mean, the technology inside these, the sort of the algorithms, if you like, the programming, is based on the mathematics of minesweepers. So when you've got minesweepers, you know, where people have planted landmines and they have to be found, and they use robots to find them. Blessed robots get themselves blown up. But there are algorithms that allow it to make sure that it covers all the area and doesn't miss a bit. That's kind of important for if you're doing minesweeping, you know, for landmines. But to do it in the most efficient way, so not to cover the same ground more often than you have to. So in other words, do it quickly, but don't miss any bits. Well, that, as it happens, is also really useful when you're vacuuming your floor. It's not quite as critical as finding landmines, but equally useful, I'd suggest. So they use the same sort of algorithms, the same programming as these military robots use. And it's kind of clever. So this one's, you know, there have been several generations of this type of product, and they're getting better with every generation. So this one will do hard floors and carpets, and it'll do up to sort of mid-pile carpets. Not if you've got a really deep pile carpet, it probably would struggle with that,
right.
But everything up to that. And although it kind of feels, when you first put it in a room, it sort of feels its way around and finds out where all the walls and objects are, and it sort of makes a mental note of where everything is. But if you really, you know, and it should stop itself from falling down the stairs, for example, if it's working upstairs, it should detect the edges. But if you want it to keep away from certain areas, then it comes with these sort of strips that you can put down, and it will know never to cross those strips as well. So it's kind of got that to it. And it's got some nice functions, like as I said, you can control it manually. So it's kind of fun if your cat's sitting on it, and you can sort of navigate it whilst it's sitting on it. That's not a recommended use anyway. That's just me.
No.
And you can set and reprogram the cleaning schedules. You can receive notifications like when it's done. And also there's something that I've always wanted to see on my smartphone. Find my robot.
Love it.
So we've got find my phone on find my smartphone or iPhone or whatever. Now we've got find my robot. Where is my robot? What it's doing?
I like the fact that it goes off and charges itself, because we've got like a vacuum cleaner that's, you know, you kind of charge it and then you kind of use it and you don't have a cord and all of that. But of course, what happens? No one ever remembers to plug the thing in to charge it, you see. So I like that feature. I think that is quite handy.
It is good. And because it's autonomous, you don't have to worry. If it's running down and it hasn't managed to do the whole of the, you know, ground floor or whatever, then, you know, don't worry about it. Let it go and charge itself up and it will continue.
It's one of those things as well. You'd want to show off, wouldn't you, when people came over? You'd be like, have I shown you my robotic vacuum cleaner? I mean, because I'm sad like that. That is what I know, that's what I'd end up doing. We have somebody on the line. Mark from Middleton-on-Sea has a question for you. Mark, you are through to Fevzy.
Hello, Ellie. Hello, Fevzy.
Hello.
Hi, Mark.
Basically, Fevzy, it's what you said about Windows 7. As of this month, it's unsecure. They're not going to secure it from now on.
Yeah, I had that message come up on my laptop, actually, over the weekend. I'm glad you're asking about this, Mark.
Well, I haven't used it since because I'm not very good with computers, but I'm wondering, Fevzy, what Windows do I need to upgrade to be more secure? I've had Windows 10 and it absolutely lost me. Absolutely lost me.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, the answer, if you want to go Windows, and there are some alternatives, although most people will just go, you know, stay with Windows. Windows 10 is the current operating system. There's no point in trying to go to 8.1 because, frankly, it wasn't very good anyway. There's a reason why, you know, Windows 10 was rushed out. It is Windows 10. There is a bit of a learning curve. I mean, there are some things that work in a similar way, but it's a bit of a shock when you first use it. And, you know, but I say if you're going for Windows, if there's a reason why you want to stay with Windows, which will be the case for most people, then Windows 10 is the way to go. Just give yourself some time with it. The best way, I mean, if you buy a new machine at any point anyway that runs Windows, it will have currently Windows 10 on it. You wouldn't be able to find it with 7 or 8.1 anyway. So at some point, if you're going to stay Windows, you'll have to bite the bullet on this, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I found Windows 7 very easy, usable, personal, you know, people friendly. So, I mean, is there anything other than Windows that actually runs, you know, people friendly? Because I suffer with dyslexia. Yeah. So once I've got used to an actual something, it's hard to change.
Yeah, there are some. Mm. Okay, so there are some little third party add-ons that you can get for Windows 10 to make it look and behave a bit more like Windows 7. But they're really, you know, tweaking at the edges. It's never going to be truly like Windows 7. And Windows 7 is a great operating system, and the desire for Microsoft to change it is more to do with their need to earn money than our need for a better operating system, I would suggest. But unfortunately, we are where we are, and I can't in good conscience tell you carry on using Windows 7 with impunity, because with every passing day it becomes less safe. And the reason for that is with every passing day, new bugs in the software will be found. They're called vulnerabilities. They're things that hackers can take advantage of to
can I ask you, if I don't fire my computer up and actually don't use it,
you're safe.
Safe.
It's not going to come and poison your food or something. It will behave itself when switched off, but that's kind of not what they're made for. In terms of ease of use, and this is not a cheap option, but a lot of people find Apple Macintosh computers easier to use. Although, again, it will be different from Windows 7, so you would have a learning curve. But the concerns with Windows 10 aren't just that it's different and there's a learning curve on it. The way that Windows 10 ships to people is it takes a lot of information about you and how you use your computer and what you do with it, and it sends that back to Microsoft. It's called telemetry. Yeah, sending information.
Yeah, I know telemetry.
Yeah, right. So and Microsoft for the longest time was criticizing Google for you know, its browser and the Google Android operating system, because it sends back information. But actually, Microsoft has realized it can't really make money selling operating systems anymore. No one else charges separately for them. Mac OS, which comes with Macintosh, is free with the Macintosh. I mean, you have to buy the machine, but you don't pay extra for it. iOS comes with the iPhone and the iPad. Android comes with all the other smartphones and tablets. So Microsoft found itself in a position where it's the only one whose business model means it's trying to make money by charging. So what they've instead done is they've rigged Windows 10 by default to send lots of information about you, which I believe that they will try and monetize in due course. There are things that you can do. I mean, anyone with Windows 10, what I'd say to them is look up, there's a plethora of articles about this. What can you do to minimize how much information is sent back? but
right.
You can't make it zero. It will always send back some information. Some of the pluses are it's got Cortana built into it, which is its own voice artificial intelligence.
Yeah, that would help me out.
Yeah, so that might. I mean, it's not the smartest tool in the toolbox at the moment, but you know, it allows you to do voice searches and a few other things as well. But again, if you switch on Cortana, then you have to allow it to know where you are and what you're doing and all the rest of it. So some people switch it off for that reason. So coming back to the point, I would suggest to you, if you can, you could also go Linux, but again, it's very different. And it's
So
I think unless you're in the market to buy yourself a Mac, which is not cheap, then I would say go Windows 10. Take it easy on yourself. And if you're thinking of not using your computer as an option, then it tells me that maybe it's not absolutely vital for you to be using it all day long. So what I suggest is just take it easy. You can grab me on Twitter. I'm at Gadget Detective. If you need help with a particular thing, I will help you. But just don't stress and just realize that actually, you know, notwithstanding the spying, it's a good operating system and it's quite solid. You know, the actual core of it is good. So it is worth persevering with and it will be supported for, you know, quite a number of years. So I would just say, just take it easy. Just learn slowly to do the things that you were able to do before.
Yeah.
And just take it in easy steps and don't stress when you can't do something or find something because it's in a different place or it works slightly differently. It's more similar than dissimilar.
We don't like change, though, do we, Mark? Mark from Middleton-on-Sea, thank you so much. If you have a question for Fevzy, our gadget detective, you can give us a call. 25 minutes past two, and we're talking gadgets with our gadget detective, Fevzy. If you have a question for Fevzy, this is the number you need.
Call BBC Sussex
0800 232 1045.
We have a question from Helen in Littlehampton. She says, Fevzy, what cameras are the best for kids in terms of usability and battery life, sturdiness in case they get dropped, etc.? Oh, and reasonably priced, because Helen's got to buy two because she's got twins. So she'd like something that she can recharge rather than have to keep replacing the batteries.
Yeah, okay. So almost all affordable cameras now are built into smartphones. And even if you don't want your child to be using, it depends how old the children are, I guess, but even if you don't want to be using the phone, there's a lot more you can do with a camera when it's built into a smartphone, because images can be shared or they can be changed. They can be put through various filters and made to look kind of creatively special. So I'd look at that. I mean, I don't know if the kids concerned have already got smartphones, but that would be the best way to go. You can buy a basic Android smartphone for, you know, £40 and then not put a SIM card in it if you really don't want them to, you know, have that ability and you know, access the internet and so forth. But that's a really good way because it's a very pocketable camera. You can make it robust by buying a robust case for it, and you can get ones that, you know, are very sort of tough. They look like they're armor plated. So that, it sounds counterintuitive, but you know, the sub £100 market in cameras has more or less been wiped out by smartphones. It's the people who buy sort of cameras now are people who want more than a smartphone can give them in terms of quality and the ability to change lenses and mount external flash guns and all of that sort of thing. So I would seriously look at that, and I know that's probably not the answer that you know, you're expecting me to give, but it is the way that things are going. And
it's just kind of thing, nice, though, isn't it, about giving your kid a phone? Like, do you know what I mean? Just worry you're going to be judged by other people.
Well, you don't have to put a SIM card in it. I mean,
as long as there's Wi-Fi, they can still get on the internet, can't they? They can still FaceTime. Yeah. They can still do pretty much everything else.
Absolutely. I mean, it takes care of the billing, but then yes, and you can. And both Android and iOS, by the way, have ways of locking down access to apps and the amount of time people spend, and you know, it depends on how old the children are. There is an argument to say, you know, it's not just the age, it's, you know, how you introduce it and what parental responsibility you take in doing it. Failing that, I mean, so long since we look at these sorts of cameras, there are some basic Sony cameras that are still good. Sony's optics on the lenses are always excellent, in my experience. And again, they because they're quite popular cameras, they you can get ones with ruggedized cases. You can also get ones with, you know, just out of interest, just with ones that work underwater as well, which is kind of fun. But cool. It depends what you want. I mean, there are some basic Sonys, but you're still talking about £100 or so for a Sony compact camera that's worth having. It'll have a pop-up flash. It won't have internet capability. You'll have to transfer the pictures manually out of the camera. You know, it's just not the way that things are going at that sort of affordable price point. I personally don't like the sort of the Fisher Price type cameras, and nothing against Fisher Price. You know, you're paying a lot for a pretty basic camera, and right. You know, it will be ruggedized. But I do believe that Fisher Price still make children's cameras. But I just
not doesn't.
No, I find it hard to recommend that sort of camera, because you pay a lot for it. All right, it's ruggedized, but you've paid so much for it in the first place. You might be better off getting one that's not completely a consumable camera, but won't break your heart when they do break it. But I think a ruggedized case is a good idea. Tablets as well, by the way. Small tablets would perform the same role. But again, if you're concerned about getting on the Wi-Fi, but you can rig it so that they can't even access Wi-Fi. It's just that you kind of have to know as much as your child does.
Yeah.
Depends how old your child is. That's the issue.
Airplane mode or whatever.
Yeah, but Sony cameras, Panasonic cameras, also good lenses on them. I would go for that. And just and by the way, I think photography can be a really fun thing to do as a family, you know, to actually go out and photograph things together and just compare your snaps
definitely.
All that. It can be a great thing. It's the worst thing is like when you've got one person who's keen on photography and then they've got a group of people with them, and the one with the camera wants to stop and photograph everything, and the other ones are getting really impatient. But if you make it a kind of an outing, or, you know, a trip to the park and see what pictures you can get and all that sort of thing, that can be quite fun.
Talking of cameras, June's got in touch from Ringmer. She says, what would be the best dash cam, please? I know this has been covered before, but poor old June, she has to pay out £180 to get her car resprayed on both sides because it keeps getting damaged by other cars in car parks.
Yeah.
And she's getting all kinds of scratches and all sorts. So any help, she said, would be appreciated.
Yeah, and there are so many of them. Anker make some good ones under the... I think they do it. Is it under the Eufy brand? I can't remember. The thing is to look at the specifications, okay? Because with a dash cam, you need it to have enough resolution, enough sort of sharpness, if you like, in the picture to be able to identify number plates on moving vehicles. That's kind of key.
Right.
So there's some basics like have a decent lens, but have at least 1080p resolution, yeah? Which is the same resolution as a standard high definition television set. So you look for 1080p or more on the resolution. You look for something that has got an app so that you can actually control it and get the streaming footage out of the device easily. So it should come with an app. The other things are kind of nice to have, but they are useful. So some of them have other safety features. So for example, you can use it as a security device to detect if anyone gets too close to the vehicle overnight, for example. So you can use it in that way. Also, when you're driving it, some of them have got features in them that are built into some cars now as well. If you're getting drowsy or inattentive and you start drifting out of your lane whilst driving, it can notify you that that's happening because it's looking ahead. It sees the road markings and it detects that you're drifting. So it can tell you that. Equally, if you're getting too close to the vehicle in front, it can tell you that as well. The other tip that I would give you is these things take typically micro SD memory cards. And the way that they work is that they start at the beginning, they record until the card is full, and then they don't stop recording. They then overwrite the oldest thing that they recorded. So they do a loop recording on that, which means that the card is being continually rewritten. So there's two tips for that. One is get the largest capacity card that the particular dash cam will take, because that way, if you get a double the capacity, it halves the number of rewrites, because cards die after a certain number of rewrites. And the other thing is that there are some cards that are certified as high endurance cards. That's to say that they are designed for dash cams or security camera use, where they will get overwritten repeatedly, because that's a very different use from, say, a still camera, where, you know, it might take you 6 months to fill it up and then you empty it and do it again. This one might you know, redo it every few hours if the card is too small in capacity. So it's worth getting the largest card that's compatible, and then getting one that's high endurance if the price is reasonable.
I hope that helps, June. Just very quickly, because we're nearly out of time, Tim's got in touch. He's concerned that any Windows 7 laptop won't be able to run Windows 10. He says that it would need a minimum 4 gig RAM and a quad-core processor.
Yeah, so this is a good question. The short answer is most machines that can run Windows 7 can run Windows 10, but right, there are exceptions. And the way you tell is you download a piece of software from the Microsoft website called Get Windows 10. And what that does is it scans your machine and sees if it's physically capable of running Windows 10. And Windows 10 is about no more heavy on resources than Windows 7, generally speaking. But it also will check to make sure that the things that you've got attached to it and built into it are also compatible. In other words, that the drivers will work. That's the software that enables a particular piece of hardware to work with a particular computer. So the best thing is get Windows 10 and run it, and then you will see if it's compatible.
I shall do that tonight. Fevzi, thank you as always. If people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Twitter, @GadgetDetective. If you've got particular problems that we couldn't address today, do come and say hello. I'll be delighted to try and help.
Fantastic.